with you this morning. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 1. And this morning we're going to read verses 10, 11, and 12 together. John chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12 together. Here this morning, our fourth message in this Christmas sermon series. A message entitled, A Time for Receiving. If you've got a bulletin with you this morning, you should have an outline in there with blanks that have been strategically placed for you to fill in and follow along this morning, and for you to have some notes to take with you, and some notes that will help keep you a little bit involved this morning. But if you'll remember, several weeks ago, we talked about Christmas time, a time for gift giving. We talked about the gifts that the Magi brought to our newborn Lord and Savior, and the purpose of how we give gifts and the attitude that we should have in the gifts that we give each other, but especially in the gifts and the services that we give to God. And then we talked about how that this Christmas season is a period of reconciliation, how that the coming of Christ truly was an ability for man to have a reborn relationship. A restored relationship between a holy and a righteous God, an unrighteous man, how that Christ came with that purpose and with that mission to die that we might go free. And we also learned this last Sunday morning about a time for remembering. And we remembered all of the things that were seen in the story with the shepherds. And how that Christ was worthy to be praised. How that these very ordinary men received such an extraordinary message. Well, this morning we're going to talk about this time for receiving. Receiving Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives. You know, God truly has sent us the greatest gift that we could possibly hope to expect this Christmas holiday season or at any time. He sent us a Lord. He sent us a Savior. He sent us somebody who loved us so much that He's willing to die for us that we might go free, that we could have that reconciliation, that we might have a relationship with God, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. These are the things that God has done for us, but it requires us to receive that gift, does it not? And we're going to talk about the things that might bar us or the things that might hinder us from receiving that gift. St. John chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. The Gospel of John says it this way concerning the coming of the Lord. It says that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. I want you to look at verse 14 with me. Verse 14 says this, and it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You today for this opportunity that You've given us to come and to be here in Your house and to fellowship one with another. Lord Father, I pray that today You would just use me for this moment in time just to preach and to share Your message, Lord Father, the one that You've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that You forgive me of my sin and my unrighteousness, Lord, my many failures. But Father, Lord, I pray that just in this moment in time, You'd see fit to use me, Lord, to send out this message that You've given me that this body of believers should need to hear in this Christmas holiday season. Father God, I pray for those that have come to be here with us this morning. Father, those that have come out and been able to make it here safely despite the elements, Lord, I thank You for that traveler's mercy. Father God, I pray that, Lord, You bless us that have come here today, that we would just receive Your message and Your Word, Father. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today beneath the sound of my voice who's never known You in the free pardon of sin, that today be the day of salvation for them, Lord. That today be a day of receiving the greatest gift that's ever been given, Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, I pray today if there's somebody here who maybe needs a time of reconciliation, maybe reconciliation amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, with this church or with You most of all, Father, I pray that hearts be obedient to the call of Thy Spirit today. Lord, I pray that the leadership of Thy Spirit would come over this service. Lord, that You lead, guide, and direct every aspect of it. Father God, we place it all here in Your hands and at the foot of Your cross. It's in Your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I'm going to try real hard not to fall over anything up here. But there's tables and chairs everywhere, and my wife can attest that I'm a real clumsy person sometimes and can fall over my own feet. So I may stand out to the side a little bit and move back and forth, but I'm going to try to stay away from the tables and the chairs. You know, I am so excited to get to come and share with you this morning. I have really looked forward to every single Sunday morning getting to bring a part of the messages in these series. And I'm excited about Sunday nights and Wednesday nights also, but this sermon series has really touched my heart as we've looked at all the different aspects of the Christmas holiday season. And there's so many more messages that we could preach. But we love being here with you at Buena Vista Baptist Church. We love serving with you all. And I've shared with a few folks, and my wife and I have talked, and she's been there through some interim ministries with me. But for the most part, I spent a large part of my ministries being unmarried as a single person, basically. But she's had the opportunity to be with me through some of those ministries. But we have agreed that, by and large, that this ministry has been the funnest that I've been a part of. It's been fun. And I think part of that is because we have a connection to this church and we have a connection to the people here. But I have felt better about this ministry than any ministry that I have ever been involved in my life. And that includes churches that I know that God has called me to be the pastor of, churches that I've ministered at. And they've still been good to me and I've still enjoyed those times. But I've never had a feeling quite like that I've had here getting to serve with you all at Buena Vista Baptist Church. So as we move into this holiday season, I know many of y'all probably will not be able to be with us maybe next Sunday morning with your holiday plans. But if you can be, please do. But if I don't get to see you again, I want to tell you, have a very Merry Christmas from my family to yours, from Heather and myself, and we love you very dearly. And there's nothing else that I would rather see happen in the life of this church than this church to continue to grow. And we have a good crowd this morning. And our crowds are getting better every Sunday morning. Amen? I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but they have. And I'm just thankful to God for His hands of love and of mercy and of grace and His hands of healing that He's had upon this church. And I'm just humbled by what God has allowed me to come and labor here and do with you guys. And there's nothing that I want more than for this church to grow and to do the will of God, and for God to bless us here. Amen? And I hope that's what you want also. This morning, as we look at this time of receiving, you know, I believe if we're going to grow, I believe if God is going to work His hands and His miracles upon us, I believe that the first thing that we have to be willing to do is we have to be willing to receive it. Amen? You know, God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The one thing that verse does not say is that God sent His Son that everybody who is forced to believe in Him would be saved. It doesn't say anything about that. It says whosoever will. So we see this choice of free will. We see this choice, a decision to be made as to whether or not we'll accept God into our heart through the way of Jesus Christ, or whether we will choose to reject Him. You know, I believe that our hearts must be humbled if we're going to receive Him. Amen? I believe that our hearts must be humble if we're going to receive Him. You know, a Christmas gift is one of those things that you have to accept. Do you not? If I bring you a gift and it's beautifully wrapped with a bow on top, chances are my wife wrapped it, not me, because what I wrap you will immediately be able to identify. But if I bring you a beautifully wrapped present with a bow on top, and I give that gift to you, do you have to take it? Do you? You know, the custom says, in order to not be rude, you would accept it. But when it comes right down to it, you don't have to take that gift. And you know what? I'm one of those people. I'm not going to force a gift upon you. We give a gift, you know, for that purpose of a grace gift, because we want to. We have a desire to. But you know what? I'm not going to force you to take a gift. And likewise, you don't have to force somebody to take a gift that you might have from them. So you can't force it into their life. But you know what? God, in much the same way, has given us the greatest gift that we could ever expect. God has given us Himself wrapped in the flesh. Amen? God has given us a part of Himself in the flesh. It said here in John in verse 14, it says, and the Word was manifest into the flesh. The Word there speaking about Christ. God Himself, the only begotten Son, come packaged as a gift in human flesh. And as we read there in verses 10, 11, and 12, it says that Christ came unto us. It says that in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. It says there in verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. It does say, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Twice there, back to back, we see that God's gift, His only begotten Son in the flesh, given to mankind this peace, this joy, this mercy, this love, this reconciliation that we talked about here week after week. We see here that it says that the world rejected Him and that they refused to receive Him. I believe that if we're going to receive Christ into our hearts and all of His gifts and all of His mercy and all of His love and all of His grace and all of His reconciliation, our hearts have to be humbled to receive Him. You see, church, pride will keep us from responding to God's call. You see, pride is that thing that says, I don't need a grace gift. Pride is that thing that says, I don't need what the work of God can do in my life. I can do it on my own. Do you know anybody who's prideful, or at moments in time in your life, do you not exhibit pride? Men are probably notorious to be the most prideful creatures in all of the world. When we get lost, the most humiliating thing that you can have to do is stop and ask for directions. Amen? That's right. I don't like it, but you know what? God gave me an extrasensory gift of directions. You could put me in a field in the middle of the night, and I can tell you north, south, from east and west, and you can ask my wife, is it not the truth? God blessed me with some kind of an extrasensory gift of direction. But you know what? Every now and again, I get lost. And the thing that makes me the most frustrated is when the GPS doesn't work. Or the GPS says you are arriving at your destination and there's nothing within 5 miles of where you're at. Golly, it makes me mad. Makes my blood boil. But it's a pride thing, is it not? When you have to stop and say, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going. Why? Because the prideful self wants to say that we've got it all together. The prideful self wants to say, I don't need help from anybody else. Pride will keep us from responding to the call of God. You see, the prideful self says, I don't need somebody to save me from my sin and unrighteousness. The prideful self says, I can work hard enough. The prideful self says that I will do what is necessary in my life to be a good enough person in the eyes of God. If you remember from that very first message on this very first Sunday morning, we talked about the grace gift, did we not? The grace gift is the gift that you receive that you cannot repay. You see, we have to humble our hearts to receive a grace gift because we have to be able to understand and set our pride to the side and say, what God has given me through Christ, I'm never going to be able to repay. What God has given me through Christ, I'm never going to be good enough to receive. Do you know that this morning? That God's greatest gift, you don't deserve it. And I don't deserve it. The world doesn't deserve it. But He gave us His Son. He gave us that grace gift. And we have to have this humbled heart to receive Him. But pride will keep us from responding to that gift. Not only will pride keep us from responding, but oftentimes ignorance will keep us from understanding. Amen? Ignorance will keep us from understanding who Christ is, what Christ has come to do, what His purpose in life was. You see, there are a few things that we need to understand if we're going to receive God's grace gift. And the first thing that we have to understand is this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The second thing that we quickly have to understand about all having sinned and falling short of the glory of God is this, for the wages of sin is death. We need to understand that apart from God and apart from Christ, that we are sinners. And that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Why? Because as we are sinners and the wages of sin is death, there is nothing that you and I can do. There is no person that we can become. There is no action that we can do. There is no deeds that we can fulfill that will possibly be good enough for us to say, God, I have repaid my sin debt. God, I have done everything that I need to do in order for you to come and to rectify and to save my soul. I can do it on my own. There's never going to be that time. Do you understand that? This is what we've got to understand, that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But the next thing that we need to understand is this, is that God sent us a Savior. God sent us somebody, as the Bible tells us, who became the propitiations of our sins. That's a big word, propitiation. What does it mean? It basically means this, that God sent us somebody who would be the stand-in for our sins. If you know much about the movie industry, you know that some of the better paid folks out there are what you call stunt actors. When you have an action movie, the actor who makes the millions of dollars, of course, he doesn't want to be in a scene where he or she may possibly be hurt. So they pay somebody else really good money to come and stand in for them. So basically, when it gets to the good part in the scene, the director says cut, and they take the actor out, the multi-million dollar actor, and then they put in the stunt man or woman, and then they take all the hard shots, the director says cut again, and then they stand in the multi-million dollar actor. Jesus Christ became the propitiation of our sin. Basically, He came in and says, I'm going to take all the hard hits for you. And you know what? Jesus Christ took the hardest hits of anybody that you could possibly imagine. The book of Isaiah says that by His stripes we are healed. By His stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ was born for the purpose of coming to ultimately meet a destiny on the cross. We're going to talk more about that next Sunday morning. But in order to get to the cross, He spent a time of incarceration leading up to that death. That meant He was savagely beaten by hand with a cat of nine tails, and a crown of thorns was placed upon His head, and He was mocked and then forced to begin to carry His cross to the place where He ultimately would be crucified. God loved us so much, He says, I'm going to send my Son to be a stand-in for you. You see, you and I, we don't have to be beaten like that. You and I, we don't have to die a death on the cross. Why? Because Christ did it for us. And the next thing that I want you to understand about what God and what Christ has done through us and for us is this. Is that even if you would have been beaten, even if you would have died on the cross, it still would not have been good enough. Because you and I aren't perfect. Because you and I aren't the only begotten sons of God. Christ was. We've got to humble our hearts. We need to know that pride will keep us from responding to the call of God. We need to know that ignorance will keep us from understanding. But most of all, I want you to know that sin, pure immoral sin, will keep you and I in bondage. Sin will keep us from having a greater, more abundant life through Christ, and will keep us from a greater relationship with God. If we're going to receive Christ, our hearts have to be humbled. We have to remove pride from our life, or else it'll keep us from responding to the call of God. We have to know and understand who Christ is, what He has done for us, and know and understand that you and I are sinners in need of a Savior. And we need to know that that sin will keep us in bondage for all eternity, lest we come to know Christ. Not only must our hearts be humble if we're going to receive Christ, but church, our eyes must be attentive if we're going to recognize Him. You know, it said there in verse 10 that He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. If you look at some other translations of God's Word, they replace a few different words, but it says that they recognized Him not. Recognized Him not. And if you look at the Greek translation of that word to recognize it, it's very similar to what we would know now as meaning that they just didn't recognize Him to be the Messiah. They didn't recognize Him to be the King of Kings. They didn't recognize Him to be the Lord of Lords. But if we're going to truly accept Christ, if we're going to know Christ, if we're going to have Him in our heart and our life, we've got to be attentive to recognize Him, to recognize His movement, to recognize His call. And that takes more than just our physical eyes to do that, does it not? You see, 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem and Jerusalem when Christ was walking about in the flesh, you see, the Jews were not attentive with their physical eyes. They were all these other things going on and they failed to recognize Christ for who and what He was. Now in today's world, when Christ has already come and died on that cross and now has ascended into heaven, waiting at the right hand of the Father, it's about our spiritual eyes, is it not? You see, if we have spiritual blindness, we'll fail to recognize Christ and what He's doing in our lives and in our churches. We'll fail to see and recognize the potential. But why is it so often that we miss Him? Why is it that our physical eyes failed us 2,000 years ago? And why is it that our spiritual eyes fail us today? So often we're missing Him because we're inconvenienced by it. Amen? Inconvenienced by it. You see, 2,000 years ago in the coming of Christ, they were inconvenienced, were they not? It wasn't a good time, God. God, You sent Your only begotten Son at a moment in time when we've got a lot of things going on. We've got a Roman government who is basically a dictator to us. We're not ready to receive. We're not ready to recognize. We're not ready to understand. So it was an inconvenience. And you know what? In today's world and society, I believe that problem has only gotten worse. We live in a world today that says, I'm too busy with my job. I'm too busy with my family. I'm too busy with school activities. I'm too busy with just all the everyday aspects of living life to see with my spiritual eyes who that Christ is and what Christ is doing and what Christ can do for me. Church, don't miss out on God and His Son because you're too inconvenienced. Amen? Come now and recognize and see this gift of Christ. You know what's so sad? Is that 2,000 years ago, He was in the world in the flesh. Imagine what those men and women of that day could have truly embraced had they but not opened their eyes rather than being inconvenienced. They had an opportunity to see Jesus Christ in the flesh and blood. They had an opportunity to see God in the flesh. Do you know how significant that moment is? It's so significant. Nobody has ever been able to see God in the flesh since the fall of man. The closest point to that was when Moses was on the mountain and it says that he began to see the image of God, but he had to turn away his head because he could not look at the glory of God. But here we have God in the flesh walking on the face of the earth and people were too inconvenienced to recognize Him and to know Him. But not only that, sometimes we'll miss Him because we're just too busy. A lot of times that inconvenienced and busy goes together. We become inconvenienced because of all the things we have going on in life that make us too busy. You see, at the birth of Christ, almost everybody missed out but the shepherds and the immediate Mary, Joseph, and the others that were present. They pretty much all missed out on it because they were too busy. Were they not? You see, they were being called to Bethlehem for the purpose of the census. And they were there and they were busy trying to get a room, get a place to stay, be accounted for. And of course, the business owners of that day knew that there was money to be made. Everybody was too busy and too focused on too many other things. In your life, don't be too busy to receive God. In your life, don't be too busy to acknowledge and to know Him as Lord and Savior. What is this third reason that we oftentimes miss Him? Oftentimes we miss Him because we're not expecting Him. The world 2,000 years ago did not expect the Savior of mankind, the Son of God, to be born into a manger. They just didn't expect it. You see, they missed the coming of God. Why? Because they didn't expect it. I hope that you're expecting God to do great and mighty things in your life. I hope that you're waiting and expecting God to work in your life. If you're here and you've never known Jesus Christ, I want you to know that there's no better time than right now than to receive Him. You cannot be any better opportunity or time than right now, in this moment, in this place, right here. Don't let anything inconvenience you. Don't let any moment become too busy. Expect God and His hands to do a mighty and a great work in your life. And guess what? You'll be right every time. Amen? Because that's who God is, and that's what God does. The world 2,000 years ago, they weren't expecting a Savior. They weren't expecting a Messiah to come and to be born in a manger. They weren't expecting an extraordinary message to be given to ordinary men. They weren't. The gifts that the Magi brought, they were also unexpected. Why? Because it's all the people that received Him were all the people that you'd never expect. Shepherds in the field. Magi who weren't even Jews. But the people that Christ came and lived among, they recognized Him not. They received Him not. Why? Because of the inconvenience, because of the busyness, because they didn't expect the Messiah to be born in a manger. They wanted a different kind of king and a different kind of Savior. If we're going to receive Christ, our eyes, both physically and spiritually, must be attentive. If we're going to receive Christ, our hearts must be humble. But the third thing I want you to know this morning before we get ready to close out is this. Is if you're going to receive Christ, you must be willing to receive Him. If you're going to receive Christ, you must be willing to receive Him. Kind of the example that I gave about that Christmas present earlier. I'm not going to force you to take a beautifully wrapped Christmas present. You have to be willing to receive it, do you not? Kind of like the old saying goes, sometimes you just can't help some folks, can you? Sometimes you just can't help some folks. Why? Because they don't want to be helped. You know, there's an old saying about 150, 200 years ago, you can't pull those out of the mud who don't want to get up out of the mud. There's lots of folks who are just happy and content where they're at in life. There's lots of folks who, for whatever reason, they don't feel like they need God in their life. There's lots of folks who I've talked to in ministry that said, well, if I have Christ in my life, then that means I have to go to church. If I have Christ in my life, then that means that I have to serve and to do things. If I have Christ and if I have God in my life, then I'm going to have to study and read the Word. Well, I want to tell you something. If you truly got Christ in your life, all those things come in the secondary, amen? All of those things come after that relationship with Christ because you'll want to do them. By truly knowing Christ and having Him in your life, you'll want to know more about Him and you'll want to read His Word. If you truly know Christ in your life, you'll have a desire to come into fellowship one with another and be with like-minded Christians. If you truly know and have Christ in your heart and your life, you'll have a desire to serve Him, but also to serve those who know Him as brothers and sisters in Christ. And furthermore, you'll even want to serve those who don't know Him, trying to share with them how that they might be saved. You've got to be willing, though. I can't force you to accept Christ. There's nobody in here that can force you to accept Christ. If you're going to accept Christ and know Him and receive Him this holiday season, you've got to do so willingly. You see, God doesn't force reconciliation. God doesn't force peace. God doesn't force joy. But I promise you this, all those things are a byproduct of knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you willingly accept Him and come and know Him as your Lord and Savior, you can have all of those things this holiday season. And you can have all of these things for the rest of your lives and you'll have them into eternity. But you know, not all gifts are accepted, are they? No. Because I said there's a lot of folks that don't want to be helped. There's a lot of folks that don't want to receive. Just like here in this example that we see in John. It says in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They knew him not, and they received him not. Don't be those people. Don't be the ones who ignore the gift, accept the gift. Many will choose to reject him. It's not just a matter of not accepting him. You know, there's a lot of people who stay on the skirt tails and the fringe, do they not? I have been a pastor and pastored in a church where a lost man faithfully came every single service. In the whole time I pastored that church, I don't ever remember a time that he did not attend a service. His wife was our piano player, but he never failed to come. And you know what? I believe he believed to an extent. But there were things that kept him from accepting. And you got to willingly accept, do you not? It takes more than just saying, I believe that Christ is the Son of God. It takes more than just saying, you know, I believe that Christ loves me and that God loves me. I believe that God loved me so much He gave His Son. It takes more than just saying that you believe. It takes accepting. It takes inviting Him into your heart and inviting Him into your life. I can bring a gift and lay it on the table and it might sit there for years. But if you don't willingly accept it, it's not really an accepted gift. Many are like that and they stay on the fringes of coming or attending and knowing, but just never accepting. But I want you to know that there's many who just outright choose to reject Him. If I bring a gift and you say, no, thank you, I don't want it, I'll take it back with me. Difference there in the accepting and the rejecting part. Many folks will just outright reject Christ. They'll reject who that He is. They'll reject what He's come to do. They'll reject that He is the Son of God. They'll reject that He was God in the flesh. They don't believe. But I want you to know this. There's coming a day and there's coming a time when all peoples of the earth, past or present, will acknowledge Him. Amen? There is coming a time in this world when all people, past or present, when the dead will be judged, and those who have not known Christ and rejected Him, they will acknowledge Him as Lord and as Savior. The Word of God says that there will be a time in the book of Peter, it tells us that every knee shall bow. It says in the book of Romans, according to Paul, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In the book of Philippians, we know that Paul said that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. But he says, when he wrote there in the book of Romans, he says, everyone shall bow. There's many who will not accept. They may say that, yeah, I believe or I understand, but there's many who will not accept. There's many who flat out reject. But there's coming a day when every single person will acknowledge Christ and His deity. Amen. So why not acknowledge now? During this holiday season, why not accept Him into your heart and accept Him into your life? Why not be willing to receive Him? Why not be attentive and recognize Him and His coming? Why not recognize what He can do for you and what He has done for others? And would you not just humble your heart enough to say, Lord, would you not save me from my sin and unrighteousness? Set your pride and your ignorance and the bondages of the chains of sin aside. And say, Lord, here am I. No better time than this holiday season. I believe that with all my heart. No better time than right now. As we prepare for a time of invitation, Right now is your time for receiving. Right now is your opportunity. You say, I don't know when. I know that God is wanting me to make a move and to come forward and give my heart and my life, but I just don't know when. When? Right now. Right now. Don't leave out of here. Don't go through another Christmas holiday without knowing Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Right now is the moment. How? First, by admitting, understanding those things that we talked about, by admitting that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, by believing that Christ is the Son of God, and that He came and that He was born and He died on the cross for our sins, that He was the stand-in, the propitiation of our sin, knowing that He is the Son of God, and believing that He's risen again, and He sits at the right hand of the Father waiting to return. If you'll admit your sin and your unrighteousness, believe in your heart, and you'll come and confess and invite Him into your life, willingly accepting Him, you shall be saved. The how and the when's out of the way. Now you know. You come. If God is working on your heart with other things, maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you need to come and seek reconciliation. Maybe you just need God's direction in your life. You come and respond this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the blessings that You've given us to be here, to fellowship one with another. Lord, we thank You for the traveler's mercy. Lord, I pray that You be with us as we depart shortly, and You give us traveler's mercy back home and again tonight. But Lord, right now, as we close out this service, I pray that if there's somebody here who's lost and undone, who's never known You in the free pardon of sin, that today, right now, they'll come and invite You into their heart and their life, that they will willingly accept You. Lord, I pray that spiritual hearts will be opened this morning and humbled. Lord, I pray that spiritual eyes would be attentive to recognize You and who You are and what You've done. Father God, we place it at the foot of Your cross. I pray that hearts respond. It's in Your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Let's all stand.
Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Kids, we will be back at 3:30, so parents, you can be here at the church, and it'll be around 3:30 when we get back.